Well, every year a new flood of books appears on the shelves, offering variations of a formula, of some kind of formula that is designed to bring us happiness and fulfillment. See, to the person with the inside information, we can be happy. Indeed, for the one who holds the key, who is in on the secret, to the wise and intelligent, life's treasures open themselves and all manner of treasures await us, according to the books. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Many people are seeking answers, as evidenced by the number of such books that follow one another on various bestseller lists week after week and month after month. However, when we turn to the biggest bestseller of all time, we find a twist on the usual formula for treasure and happiness. For those of you who may not know, the number one bestseller of all time is the Bible. Today's gospel reading, Jesus gives thanks to his heavenly Father, remarking that God has hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. It sounds exciting, but what is it? What is the hidden truth, and why would it be hidden from the wise and intelligent? Shouldn't they be the ones who would uncover it to understand what Jesus is talking about? Well, to understand what Jesus is talking about, we need to take a step back and look at what immediately precedes these words. Jesus speaks, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" How might we translate that phrase into today's language? How about this? Nothing I do is ever enough. Have you ever heard someone say that? I'm sure you have. Probably felt that way yourself. It doesn't matter how much you do, how much you say, how much you pay, how much you save, how much you exercise, it just never seems to be enough. Well, does it bring you comfort to know that Jesus experienced that same feeling, that it was a reality for him as well? In the language of the time, he offers this somewhat enigmatic word of hope about true wisdom being vindicated by her deeds. And then adds this prayer addendum, giving thanks to God that God has hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. The NRSV translation sounds clumsy to me, and so I turned to the Message, the translation that is a bit clearer. It says, "Abruptly Jesus broke into prayer. 'Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work.'" So it is sort of a twist, a paradox. I love the paradoxes in scriptures. They're everywhere. And this is another one. It's this paradox that Jesus is describing about the wise and the foolish. While we continue to trap ourselves more and more in this web of clever ways and means to please ourselves and others, Jesus says that we have it all backwards. It is, as he puts it elsewhere in the gospel, an impossible task. Because there is no magic key, no secret formula to take the pressure off of us. Indeed, trying so hard to find these things will only add to the pressure that we feel. During my CPE experience, CPE stands for Clinical Pastoral Education, was my time as a chaplaincy at a hospital. We talked often in our group about self-care and taking care of ourselves being a priority. We talked about it so much that taking care of ourselves became another one of the stressors in our lives. We are continually surrounded with messages that tell us to buy this product or use this tool, or visit this establishment, meet this person, drink this drink, and then you will be happy. The truth is, it will never be good enough. We will never be good enough, clever enough, attractive enough, anything enough, at least not to the world around us, and sadly, probably not even to ourselves. Remember, John the Baptist lived this sparse, ascetic life, and he was criticized. Then Jesus himself came and ate and drank and did that with other people, and he was criticized for that. So there is just no winning. No winning in the eyes of the rest of the world. Some of you might remember the 1980s movie War Games. Young computer geek, played by Matthew Broderick, after a great deal of drama, ends up helping a group of military leaders and the National Defense Program's supercomputer learn the unavoidable truth that nuclear war is a deadly game that cannot be won. The only way to win, they acknowledge at the end of the film, is not to play. And it takes a kid, a child not even old enough to drive, to see what a room full of so-called experts missed, those experts who could not see that simple truth. The Apostle Paul spent most of his adult life acting just like those cocky experts. In the world of faith and religion, he had studied everything he could get his hands on, obeyed every commandment put before him, and followed every ritual. And believing these followers of Jesus were antithetical to Torah, Paul was determined to put an end to this new religious movement, this Christian thing. And he was successful. Well, at least that's what he tried to convince himself. But as he later admitted to the Christians living in Rome, it was not enough. It could never have been enough. Paul says it this way: I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. He thought he could. To anyone looking at him from the outside, it probably looked like he did. He was, after all, one impressive zealot. Paul wanted so badly to possess the key, to know the secret, to fulfill all the demands, to arrive. Wretched man that I am, he said, who will save me from this body of death? It is a humbling thing to let go and let God. It looks good on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt, but the reality is much more difficult, because it's far easier to read another book or add a new skill to your resume than it is to stand before the mirror just as you are. It is far simpler, or so it seems, to work harder to be lovable, to be liked, to be right. It is so much easier to work at it than it is to realize and to recognize how beloved we already are. I hope you do not interpret what I am saying as advice to ignore the self-help genre. We have much reason to be grateful for the opportunities to read these books, to do various tasks, and to learn the various things that will help us grow and mature as individuals and as people. Reading books and listening to podcasts, watching TED Talks can help us understand our intrinsic worth. As Paul told Christians in Corinth, if we are to grow, it is necessary to transition from the milk of infants to meatier substances. But at the same time, Jesus said we must be born again, becoming like little children. An adult recognizes the importance of responsibilities, and that's good. But it is dangerously easy to think that mastering those responsibilities will save us or make us whole. A child knows better than that. Or rather, a child who is young enough not to have been taught otherwise. That child knows how much she or he needs help. And a child innocent enough not to be caught up in the world's deceptions knows that he or she is loved just as they are. In fact, it's not even a matter of knowledge for an infant in your arms. It is a matter of experiencing love, of being held by love. Friends, I'm convinced that is why Jesus closes this section with the words that are some of the most comforting in all of Scripture. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Nothing I do is ever enough, and that's right. Nothing we do will ever be enough. But we have a choice. And the sooner we recognize that choice, the sooner we can embrace something deeper. A reality that God knows more fully than we would like to admit. God loves you. God loves me just as we are. We don't have to do anything to be loved. The writer Henry Nouwen once said, when you are able to create a lonely place in the midst of your actions and concerns, then somehow, slowly, your successes and failures lose their power over you. We are not our greatest success, and we are not our worst failure. We are beloved children and God. We are not God. That's okay, because we don't have to try to be. Jesus calls on you and me to let go of those heavy, wearisome yokes we and the world place upon ourselves, and to instead take up the yoke of Jesus that is not burdensome, the yoke of acceptance of who we are in Christ Jesus. The freeing truth of being beloved by God in Christ. Come to me, Jesus invites. Come to me, you are beloved. Friends, that is always enough.